Catechism question for this week is number 66. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? The answer is, the reason annexed to the fifth commandment is a promise of long life and prosperity, as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all, such as keep this commandment. Now, in Exodus 20, he says that you may live long in the land, but in the giving of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, at the end of the wilderness wanderings, as they are about to cross over the Jordan and take the rest of the land, he adds that it may be well with you to the living long of the land, which is to say that God, who is the one who decides, who defines what it being well with us means, is adding the promise that this is a mechanism or a means by which he will make it to go well with us. He has designed in his ordinary providence that each one in his place and his relations to each of the others in their places and their relations, we each fulfill our responsibility, whether it's a responsibility to submit to someone under authority or whether it's a responsibility to lead as someone in authority, for the purpose for which God has given us that authority. So you have kings and rulers who are supposed to be a blessing to their people, and you have the apostle talking about his apostolic authority, saying that it is for building up and not tearing down, and that sometimes that building up comes by faithful church discipline, or as equals, we have a duty to one another to regard others before we regard ourselves, and always be respectful and always speak in a way that is useful and edifying, a way that comes from grace and not from the flesh. And we've covered a bunch of these as we have thought about the fifth commandment these last weeks, but that ultimately it is God himself who in his providence has to make everything bear the fruit that it's designed to bear. He has so designed his world that the keeping of this commandment is how he brings happiness. Happiness to families, happiness to nations, happiness to churches. This is something that we see in the creation. Five times we hear God say it was good. And then on the sixth day, in the middle of the day, he says it is not good. Well, I guess fairly late in the day. He says it is not good because Adam has been created, and then he names all the animals and so forth, and there's not a helper suitable for him, and God finishes the creation of man with the creation of woman, and not good goes to very good by the creation of the marriage relationship, a marriage relationship that, if we look at Genesis 2, has within it authority and teaching. Because Adam is the one who receives the instructions regarding the tree, regarding the covenant of life, or the covenant of works, whichever of those we are going to use, terms we are going to use for it. He's the one who receives the instructions and the terms of it, and then his wife is created, and he has to be her teacher. And the Lord has given him a leadership place in the world as a whole, in which he names all of the other creatures. And even when the Lord brings her to him, he names her, recognizing that God has given him this place of leadership and responsibility, even with respect to his wife, who is every bit as much in the image of God as he is, who is a helper corresponding to his needs. Now, it's important that when we recognize that this is part of the law of God, and that the law of God is an expression of the character of God, that we remember that there is not authority within the Godhead, because there is only one will in God. He is one God. But one of the great truths about God is that he is God. And his holiness, for instance, is the intensity of his commitment to himself. His consistency within himself, his adoration within himself, within the three persons. So sometimes you'll think, or hear, and it's true in the way that we use it, because we have never existed within the one God outside of time and space. You'll hear that the word holiness means separateness. Well, yes, with respect to everything else, it means separateness. But within God, it cannot mean separateness, because God is not separate from himself. It is the intensity of his commitment to himself. And so it is actually an outworking of his holiness that he has created creatures to exist in orders of authority and submission, so that he can communicate always to the creatures that he himself is at the top of that order. One of the things that the fifth commandment does for us is it forces us to recognize that one of the most basic truths about God is he is God. And one of the most basic truths, or the first truth, about anything or anyone else is he is not God. And a great deal of our blessedness, whether as a person or in the family or in the nation or in the church, is bound up in that truth. God is God, and nothing else is God. And of course, the first place we start to learn that lesson as babies is when we learn that mom and dad are in charge and we are not in charge. This is somebody else's world with somebody else's order. We have to submit to the ones whom God has set over us, just as we have to submit to God's providence. And we eventually come to realize that part of his providence is the one whom he's set over us. And so he designed this creation of a new relationship with authority and submission and leading and being led and teaching and being taught. And it's this new relationship of marriage that takes us, as it were, on day six from not good alone to very good. Now there's relationship, now there's marriage, and now there is the keeping of the fifth commandment with respect to people, because there's more than one of them. And one of the things, of course, then, that God has commanded them to do, once the two of them are made, is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, which means an exponentially increasing number of permutations of the keeping of the fifth commandment, because the ones who fill the earth must all, in their various places and relations, function the way that God has given those places and relations to function, as we all, under God, love him and serve him, obey him, and find that him being God and us being not God, and us therefore following his directions, is the way to blessedness and happiness in him himself. One of the great books in the Bible for seeing this is the book of Proverbs, where it talks about the difference a good father or mother can make, the difference a good son or daughter, well, usually son, can make, the difference a good wife can make, the difference a bad wife can make. The difference good rulers make, the difference bad rulers make, the difference good masters make, the difference bad masters make, the difference good servants make, or employees or slaves, the difference bad employees make. So that this principle that God has built into his creation, into our relationships, into the societies that he has ordained, the family, the church, the nation, he has built into it that the path to happiness for everyone is each fulfilling their role, fulfilling their duty, giving honor to the others, and preference to others in how we do so. And of course, we have mentioned several times as we've been studying the fifth commandment, the perfect example of Jesus. You know, what a joy he must have been to have as a son. And any displeasure in it would have just been because of the sinfulness of Joseph and Mary. What a joy he must have been to have as a brother. Although perhaps in your flesh you might have been irritated by the fact that he was always good. And mom and dad were so well pleased with him. And so the jealousy and envy of your heart would make you sin against him in that way. But he was also always preferring you, always loving you, only ever speaking kindly to you. We can hardly imagine what it is to have such a sibling, even in a happy family, a godly family. So Jesus is the great example. And then when he is about to take the throne of his kingdom, he reminds those whom he is going to make lesser authorities within within that kingdom, the apostles, that they must not be like leaders among the Gentiles who domineer over those who are subject to them, but that he who is Lord of all was among us as one who serves. And the happiness of the church in everyday in the everyday operation and life of the church much depends upon our following our Savior's example in keeping the fifth commandment. And this continues even, of course, within the home when the apostle is giving children instruction in Ephesians 6. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so he speaks to Christian children and he tells you that the only way of obedience is through faith in Jesus, and that the primary purpose of your obedience is the glory of Jesus. He repeats the promises, quoting from the Deuteronomy 5 edition of the Ten Commandments, that your days may be, that it's the first commandment with a promise, that your days may be long in the land and that it may go well with you, because that is still how God has ordained, organized, established for life and for the family to work. So if we are miserable in our home, one of the first things we should do is think, how am I leading my wife, my children? How am I submitting to my husband, my dad, my mom? How am I preferring my brothers or sisters to myself? Because the keeping of the fifth commandment is God's plan for glorifying Jesus by producing happy homes through the instrument or the mechanism of Jesus-like people, people who are like Jesus, living with one another in accordance with the fifth commandment. And it doesn't just tend towards happiness, it tends towards health. He extends our life, even something as scientifically observable as the reduction of stress. As I work on my health, one of the things that I keep coming across in the literature is how important it is to reduce cortisol, to reduce stress. And hopefully in God's mercy to me, I will think about that with respect to each of you and want to reduce your stress. Even that would be an application of the fifth commandment. So the reason he gives us is because he is God and we are not, and that is the key to happiness in life and health in life. And one of the ways that we follow that, the primary way that we follow that, is by keeping the fifth commandment in these authority and relational structures that he has put into life, so that we would learn ultimately to submit to his authority, and ultimately that we must live in relationship with him properly, just as he has designed our life with all of these other relationships that we need to live in properly. So he gives us that as the reason, and it's in it, you know, the Holy Spirit's wonderful way, just a few Hebrew words, he opens up the teaching of the whole Bible in how even from the creation, God has designed our lives to work this way. Amen.